Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. We are starting the Terror of Trigun with this episode, so let's go ahead and get into it.
So let's get into the issues that we're actually going to be covering.
Ooh, look, I read these ones.
Yay! We're reading the Teen Titans Terror of Trigun. They were originally printed in the new Teen Titans second series, issues 1 through 5, distributed by DC in 1984 and 85. The writer is Marv Wolfman. Art was done by George Perez with help by Romeo Engel. Letters were Todd Klein, Bob Lappin, and John Costanza. Colors by Adrian Roy. And inks were done by Romeo Tangle. And we start out this first issue with a little training session. It's basically the Titans versus Jericho, what they're calling, you know, war games, quote-unquote war games. It doesn't go good for the Titans because of Jericho's powers, where he can look at somebody in their eyes and then jump into their body.
Which, you'd think they'd have been smart enough just to, you know, not look him in the eye.
Well, Cyborg is. He's like, all right, he can't look into my robotic eye.
But they know what his powers are to go in there.
At the one thing I should have mentioned, one of the reasons why they're doing this is because in the previous canonically issues, Nightwing makes mention that they've been on so many separate adventures, like they haven't had time to be a team again. So this was a good learning experience for the whole team. You know, they actually have to act together and be a team versus the first time they fought the Fearsome Five. Like you say yourself, two powerhouses, and they couldn't take them because they were too worried about each other, too worried about not doing their best, not working together.
Gotcha. But still, like I said, they knew what his powers were. It'd have been easy as closing your eyes, walking up there, bitch slapping him, and then, you know.
True. But they do stop him. He tries to take over Cyborg. He's jumping from, like, you know, Beast or Changeling to
First
Starfire.
First off, I'd like to point out that he's lucky he got to be inside Corey.
Wow.
He's been more inside her than Dick has.
Yeah, no.
He had the whole thing.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
But as they are in the middle of the games, Raven pops up. And not knowing that there were in these games, Jericho decides he's going to jump into her because, oh, look, it's a Titan. She's looking right at me. Bam. It doesn't go well for him.
Dude, he looks like a creepy little monkey in this picture right here.
The one with Nightwing holding him.
Yeah, right before he jumps into Raven. Like, he literally looks like a creepy little monkey person, like, right there.
Yeah. Kind of fun, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he tries to go in to Raven. It doesn't work. She bamfs out. I know it's a Nightcrawler thing, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah. And leaves him a smoking, you know, wreck.
Heap. They run, the remaining Titans rush to him to make sure he's okay. And it says here he's got a lot of fear in his eyes, and he's trying to sign the problem.
I can't understand you when you stutter.
God damn it. They are able to finally figure out what is happening, what he was trying to say, and Donna says that, you know, he felt an evil force in Raven, and he wants to know why we haven't helped her yet. And Nightwing's like, oh, we've tried, we have to wait for her.
But have we ever really tried, is what everybody else pretty much brings up.
Yeah. So they go back in, they're talking, they finally realize that they haven't really, as much as they have accepted Raven into the team, they don't know a lot about her. And I had to look into previous issues where she first showed up and where she first talked about Trigun. She was trying to get any hero to come help. The Titans, the Justice League, originally they all just turned her away. And once Trigun came, the Titans stood up.
Gee, maybe we should have listened to her after all.
The Titans, you know, stepped up and actually helped and
beat
him back.
Dick, maybe we should do something about this.
I do want to point out that when they first faced him, the first time he appeared, he was maybe 10 feet tall. Like, he wasn't that much... He was controllable to the point where these guys could actually beat him. Whereas we'll see here later on...
He's
not 10 feet tall anymore. Jericho tries to comfort Raven as much as he can.
Giggity.
Yeah. She wants the help, but she doesn't know how to ask. So her way of figuring out the problem is she tells the Titans that she's leaving. Like, they can't help her.
Because that's always everybody's situation in here.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And just like to throw this out there, do you know how many times you see Robin, Nightwing in that position right there in these damn comics? With one hand on the table and the other hand pointing at somebody like he's, you know, angrily talking to them.
To be fair, it looks like he's not pointing. It looks like he had a drink in his hand.
And they just took it out.
Or he's got a gun in his hand and they took it out. Like,
all right, nobody move, she.
This may have been a reused art. I doubt it.
I don't know. I mean, it's a very popular thing.
You're not wrong. So yeah, so Raven leaves. And now the Titans are left holding their, basically their dick in their hands. We jump over for a couple quick panels, well, pages,
yeah,
of the vegan system or vegan.
Yeah, let's call it the vegan because vegan sounds like it's a bunch of.
Well, because I know they're on.
They don't eat meat or anything.
Well, yeah, but I know they're on the planet Vega. That's why Vega. Yeah, Vega.
So vegan.
Okay,
we'll call it vegan. Like, because when I first read it, I was like, what the fuck is vegan space?
And we see Corey's parents, Tamaranians. Apparently, they are finally free. And this takes place in
the
Omega Man issues.
The Citadel.
Which I might check them out eventually. I don't know. Either way, they send a ship. The royal family sends a ship to Earth to collect Corey. Because now she can finally come home. The only reason she went to Earth was... because of a deal that was made.
Yeah.
I don't know what deal.
Now, off subject, but when you're looking at this, dude, I thought that was her for a minute there.
I mean, to be fair.
Like, it looks just like her.
Yeah, well, they all look like...
But no, that's got the same hair and, you know, the color of the costume. You know? Like, I was like, wait, what the fuck is... How is this even...
But then again, her mom looks like her.
A little bit, but at least her mom's got differentiating, you know, like the whole... crown thing, and they definitely made her
not
mom,
as puffy hair.
Yeah, and her mom looks older.
Yeah, they got the crow's feet, looks like.
Yeah, no, the random chick in the crowd looks just like her.
Okay.
And that threw me off when I was first looking at it, because I was like, wait.
But she's already there? She's already home? We go back to... Now, these are the only two panels in this entire arc
that had it, which I assume ties it later.
Later on, I almost guarantee it does. We might get to it post-crisis, so that's why we're touching on it now. Who knows? Like, the post-crisis thing is going to be interesting, to say the least.
As he shifts his eyes left and right.
Yeah. Like, I'm just looking forward to crisis right now. Once I get through that, I'll be happy. Go back to Titan's Tower. And we have Cyborg looking at videotape.
Okay, we have Gar, Changeling Beast Boy.
He comes into
walking in there, and he says, "What you doing in the screening room? Watching some X-rated flicks?" And
was he?
Which who would do that with the door open? First off,
you'd be surprised.
Fair enough. I guess this was the 80s, so you know, they used to watch them together. Like, you ever seen the movie The Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks? When they're like all getting ready to watch a porn together, I'm like, man, if I was in a group with a bunch of my buddies, that's the last thing I would want to do is watch porn together.
80s, man. I don't know.
Yes.
It's funny because Cyborg says that stuff's boring garbage. Yeah, porn's not that boring, dude. Come on.
He's not looking at the right stuff.
Apparently not.
Of course, hey, this was also back in the...
80s, yeah. They had their shitty storylines. Not that the storylines have ever gotten better.
No. But we've come to accept them.
Yes. They're great.
It's horribly wonderful. Yeah. Like, you expect the bad acting. Have you ever heard of PG porn?
Oh, fuck yes.
Dude, those are so damn funny.
Yes, they
like
are.
Like the one with Nathan Fillion where, like, he fucking... And they're just, dude, nope, it's just too damn, that's good stuff.
Yeah. But what he's looking at is basically the security footage of Raven and the subtle changes over the last year and a half. You know, she's got a softer, childlike form when they first met her.
And then she starts looking like an angry dude.
Well, and you remember when in the very first arc we did, we're like, we don't know why they're called teens. Raven alone looks like she's 30.
Yeah, and she looked like angry.
Yeah, this is why. She was being taken over. I'm actually kind of happy that this got explained.
Me too, because like going from the hot little chick she is in the first one to the terrifying...
They say her cheeks are all sunken and her hairline's changed.
Yeah, she went from being a cute girl to looking like Dracula's lost man-child.
and Gar even says, like, she looks almost evil. And, you know, I never realized...
She looks evil. Anyways.
Like, I never realized she changed so much. And Cyborg's like, yeah, none of us did. You don't see the changes, the subtle changes every day. It's over long periods of time. I guess I should... retcon and say that Raven didn't leave. She was staying the night and then leaving in the morning.
Yeah. She just poofed out to her room.
Yeah. And then...
Because, you know, walking to her room would have been less dramatic.
You don't watch Teen Titans Go.
No, I don't watch Teen Titans Go.
There's a scene where Starfire doesn't want to walk through the door, so she blasts a hole through the wall, but it's, like, right next to the door. So... And then she flies through the hole because, you know, cartoons... We have Jericho just trying to get his mind off of Raven, but he can't. Like, he wants to help her.
So instead he decided to get inside of her?
He does. He jumps in to her mindscape to try and help. This scene confused me because I actually thought that was Raven to begin with. But it's actually Jericho...
Since he takes over Raven's, you know, body, so when he jumps in there.
Yeah, I was gonna say soul, but he doesn't really take over soul.
No, like he takes because when he jumps into Gar earlier, you know, Gar's like talking while he's got he's got full control of the body, but he doesn't have control of like the mind.
Yeah, and this hellscape she's in. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Trigon's dimension or something. But he's, as Raven, is trying to find her soul or trying to find what he can do to help.
Yeah.
But it gets, the Raven cover gets blasted away. And we then see Trigon basically attacking Jericho, saying, you can't fool, what does he say here? Only my daughter is permitted in this netherverse to merge her world with mine, her power with mine, her life with mine. You wish to see me, do you? You wish to see the face of death? Look then, human, and gaze upon the unholy visage of Trigon. And now Trigon is fucking gigantic. He's Godzilla level now.
Yeah, because Jericho's about the size of his hand in this picture.
Trigon grabs him and is holding him and basically melts him. And this is, again, all in Raven's mind, or Netherverse, Mindscape, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Raven is able to stop him from, I guess, killing Jericho, and releases him out of, you know, her mind, his mind, or her being.
Body, yeah.
Yeah. And they hear this...
Yelling the no!
Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming that's Raven yelling that. I'm not really sure.
Obviously, because Jericho's... mute.
Bastard. But at the same time, there's also... For those of you who could not see, because it's an audio medium, he was sign languaging badly. But at the same time as you hear the no, there... Stop it.
There. Sign languaging well.
Take that for sign language. there is a giant thunderstorm, lightning storm, brewing outside of the tower. The Titans go rushing into Raven's room and they find Jericho signing father. And he tells the story of what happened. And they're like, well, where's Raven now? Because her body's gone. Like, she's not in the room anymore. And we end the issue with this laughing and the Titans looking outside as the storm gets worse.
And I didn't notice this actually when I first read through it, but if you look in that last panel, you the can actually eyes. See the eyes glowing yep. in the background.
Yep.
I didn't notice that at first because I just thought it was part of the
storm.
Or yeah, the like the between the haha and the lightning.
Yeah.
But nope.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Teen Titans story.